Hello, everyone. This is Jacob Emerson with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in to our series, where today we're thrilled to be joined by a special guest. Dr. Sinan Ibrahim is the founder and CEO of Delfina. Sinan, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me, Jacob. I'm excited for this conversation.
So let's dive right in. I want to hear a little bit more about you first, Sinan. If you could tell us more about your healthcare background, what a physician scientist does, and then what it is that you do today at Delfina.
Thanks, Jacob. Yeah, I'm a physician, a scientist, and a founder. More importantly, I am a husband and a father, and my wife is actually a practicing OB-GYN physician, so the apple didn't fall too far from the tree here. I started my career in healthcare really focused on neuroscience, looking at are there ways that we can predict one of the most unpredictable events in healthcare, which is a seizure. Started looking at neurologic recovery, looking at pain control in the ICU, and I found all these areas in healthcare where we're just not doing a great job as physicians, kind of manually figuring out what's going on with our patients, waiting for really extreme symptomatic presentations before we react. And nowhere was that as striking as in maternal health. And I realized when I was assessing maternal healthcare in this country that nowhere in healthcare is the gap as large in terms of what we're doing today in the standard of care and what we could be doing in an AI-powered system of care. Nowhere is that gap as large as in maternal health. So I decided to focus my research career on obstetrics, on can we predict the complications of pregnancy that are driving the maternal health crisis today in ways that can empower patients and their providers to get ahead of those complications, driving down the adverse outcomes and improving health outcomes for moms and babies. A physician scientist typically spends most of their time in the lab writing papers about their research, and that's what I had been doing until I founded Delfina. But I realized that this crisis is one of the most pressing public health crises of our time. And I didn't want to just publish a paper about it. I wanted to be at the forefront and play a role in actually solving this public health challenge. So I founded Delfina 3 years ago with the goal of delivering a new kind of intelligent pregnancy care to every single pregnant person on earth, starting with every mom in this country, bringing in her family, bringing in her community, and crucially, bringing in her care team, centering her and empowering her to make the decisions that are best for her, and ultimately getting our outcomes here in the US to be more in line with other developed nations, where we currently have some of the highest maternal mortality and morbidity rates comparable to lower income nations, despite spending more than any other country on earth on healthcare. And when we look at who is actually really bearing the brunt of this maternal health crisis, it is Black and Brown women in this country. And as the son of immigrants, I feel very motivated not just to solve the crisis at scale, but also for communities that have been uniquely and disproportionately impacted to really create a new kind of equitable pregnancy care for all.
Absolutely. And it's amazing to hear you talk about this. I appreciate the health equity piece at the end. It seems that we continue to see these stories very often in the media. But Sinan, I want to ask you about something else that our news coverage reflects that I know you are very familiar with, and it's the widespread maternity service line closures at hospitals and health systems all over the country, nearly every week, at least every month, on top of the evolving regulations around contraceptive care, both at the federal and the state levels. So needless to say, women's health is in a difficult spot right now. So from your perspective, what are the key challenges that are top of mind for you and for Delfina right now, and why?
This crisis is the product of many forces. And unfortunately, as you pointed out, we are not doing ourselves any favors as a society, Jacob, when we make it harder and harder for pregnant patients to access life-saving care. And when we break down the maternal mortality crisis in the US, where again, we have one of the worst rates of any developed nation on earth, we see that it's persistent disparities in terms of access to care that's really driving a lot of the disparities in outcomes. It's around quality of care. When we do see the patient, what are we actually doing? Are we doing the things that will really benefit them and improve their outcomes, or the things that we get paid for as providers? And how well do those things really align? And you have this entire crisis superimposed on an existing mental health crisis the isolation and all the various social challenges that came with the pandemic. So we are unfortunately now in the midst of this post-COVID perfect storm in maternal health, where our health system, instead of adapting to the new reality and making maternal health care vastly more accessible, we've actually seen all of these closures of facilities so that now women in certain rural areas cannot access prenatal care. They live in a so-called OB desert. When it's time for delivery, we have pregnant women delivering in the back of pickup trucks. And unfortunately, as these closures happen, because economically these hospitals just can't make ends meet, they can no longer have the loss leader that has historically been obstetric care, we find ourselves in a deeper and deeper hole. But on the plus side, we have seen initiatives coming out that over the last 4 years give us hope that despite the reduction in access to physical care, patients are increasingly availing themselves of digital health platforms. Now, I want to be clear that a digital health platform is not going to deliver the baby. There are always things that our OBGYN partners are going to need to be doing. But at the end of the day, for a patient who's living 70, 80 miles from care of any kind, having access to a digital health platform like Delphina will greatly enhance their engagement with their health, both on the prenatal and postpartum side, and crucially give us as providers some sense of clarity and visibility into what their needs are and to get them into the right level of care before it's too late. We've also seen a lot of community-based care models. We've seen a lot of engagement with doulas over the last 3 or 4 years. A lot of health plans are increasingly directly reimbursing for doula care, finally giving a living wage to these professionals who have been serving in tandem with our OBGYNs and certified nurse midwives doing life-saving work with their patients. And the community-based care models combined with these new AI-powered digital health technologies, I believe, hold a lot of promise despite the worsening landscape of maternal health access overall.
And I appreciate you bringing up some of the opportunities that you're seeing, especially with patients making themselves available on digital platforms, these community-based care models, amid what you just called, Sinan, a post-COVID perfect storm for maternal health. In that vein, with the rise of consumerism that we're seeing all across healthcare every year, we're seeing that payers are really honing in on personalized care tools and other services as part of their growth strategies this year and beyond. We're also seeing, of course, overarching value-based care and health equity aims as well. How do you think that these more personalized approaches help to advance women's health, of course, specifically around maternal care? And then as an industry, the insurers and specific stakeholders, what are the changes that they need to be making right now to achieve these objectives?
Personalized care has really become the most pressing force in healthcare for payers, for providers, and for patients themselves. Patients are advocating for themselves and really expect a certain level of personalization now in their care. They see it in oncology, they see it in metabolic health, they see it happening now in cardiovascular health. And so when these typically, 20 to 40 something pregnant women are starting to receive obstetric care, it's almost a shock when we dial the clock back to 1935 and deliver a standard of care that's really one size fits none. And what we've seen is, to be clear, consumerism in healthcare is a force that has all kinds of implications. But I do believe it can be very powerful and a powerful force for good in maternal health, where patients are advocating for themselves. They're engaged, they know what they want, and they know that they deserve a personalized experience, just like we deliver now to patients on the oncology wards. So as we've seen, Medicaid increasingly cover up to 12 months postpartum in most states, as we've seen, employers increasingly look to support pregnant patients for longer periods of time, we're starting to see more payers think about pregnancy not as a one-off episodic part of a life journey that we need to solve a NICU problem for, but a very crucial part of a longer-term investment in the health and engagement and trust of these women. So when we see our pregnant patients and we pull them on what they really like about Delphina, it's that the experience is truly different for a Latina mom who has twins to a third time pregnancy with a singleton pregnancy that's low risk, they're going to have different care journeys, as they should. They're going to be supported in different ways by the app itself, by our care team. And that's responding really to this demand from patients who are in effect acting as consumers, whether or not they're the ones paying for the care. They are only going to engage in something like Delfina as a system of care if they feel it meets their need and their expectation and delivers the kind of personalized experience that folks increasingly expect in a world where, you know, they might get their treatment for their UTI from Amazon Clinic. They are expecting us to know everything about them, understand their risks and their needs, and deliver care that looks materially different than what their sister may have received a month ago. And I believe really that investing in this new system of care will pay dividends for both health plans and providers. We need to see more and more policies from the state and from health plans around value-based care that brings in technology, brings in remote patient monitoring and telehealth services, and pays for them not on the basis of who did what and who checked the box, but was this actually helpful to my patient? Did you deliver care in a way that deeply engaged her and met her needs and ultimately resulted in a healthier outcome? And as we've seen more and more payers adopt that approach in pregnancy, we see it bear out on the other side in terms of outcomes. Providers need to be training their staff in personalized care and bringing in the whole patient, the socioeconomic factors, the social determinants that are driving a lot of the health outcomes. Every single provider should have some level of understanding and some level of engagement in the social aspects of care, not just expecting a social worker or a doula to take care of all of it, but having the team dynamic between the social workers and the clinicians to really take care of the whole patient. And finally, it's incumbent on all of us, whether we're technologists, payers, providers, to really engage deeply with the communities, meet the patients where they are as humans. If they're going to salons, if they're going to churches, if those are the places that are part of their routine, that's where we need to be meeting them to get them engaged in their care and keep them engaged.
Yeah, it's fantastic examples, Sinan. And for our listeners, I do want to mention a few examples across the industry of what we've seen recently of what Sinan's talking about. One Blue Cross plan has launched an in-house reproductive care team recently led by an OBGYN physician. We've seen state Medicaid agencies, for example, here in Illinois, begin to reimburse for doula care and coverage. So this is happening all over the country in terms of state policy and within private payers. But Sinan, I want to also dive deeper into what Delfina is doing to drive personalized healthcare and how you've seen it impact maternal health outcomes. Ultimately, how do you envision your approach evolving as well?
As you said, Jacob, there's been a lot of really great initiatives happening in parallel. You know, shout out to our partners at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas running the Special Beginnings Program, where they've been investing over years in different facets of this care, from community-based models to empowering and educating doulas to technology like Delfina. And ultimately, I think it's going to be that syncretic approach. That's how we're going to actually be able to move the needle maximally on the outcomes and solve the maternal health crisis. So our role as a technology provider is to build the integrated systems that are actually going to give clarity to all stakeholders, starting with the patient herself, such that instead of waiting for something bad to happen, she's able to advocate for herself, have her providers and her entire care team really be on the same page, and ultimately achieve a better outcome. So as an example, I'll share a case that literally just happened not even a week ago, where we had a patient who was checking her blood pressure regularly because the Delfina program specifically indicated to do so. This was a patient who was a first-time pregnant patient with low numbers of risk factors according to ACOG criteria. So a typical OBGYN physician would not have been paying a lot of attention to her risk and her progression in the standard of care. But in Delfina care, we were closely tracking and monitoring her risk. And so she was in a specific workflow where she was monitoring her blood pressure regularly. And ultimately, at the office, in a visit that she had about a week ago, she measured a blood pressure of 112 over 74, which is normal. The next day, on her own blood pressure reading on her app at home, she saw an elevated reading. And as instructed in the Delfina app, she called the office. The next appointment in the office wouldn't have been until a week later. And this patient was at 38 weeks in her pregnancy. So when she called the office, it went to an answering service which then sent her to the emergency department. And as soon as she arrived in the emergency department, they realized her blood pressure was high and actually ended up being induced for a vaginal delivery the same day. So thanks to Delfina, you know, we debriefed with her providers and her doula as well. And we understood that without Delfina, if we had waited until 39 weeks, this outcome could have been much worse. The patient might have had preeclampsia or even a more severe variant and resulted in lifelong complications for mom or baby and potentially seven-figure costs for the health plan that covers them. So we were really inspired by this story. We call the story Baby Brooke. Baby Brooke's mom was empowered to follow the clinical steps that correlate with a healthier outcome, like monitoring her blood pressure, like taking an aspirin. And in that crucial hour, in that 38th week, when we're so close to delivery and everything hangs in the balance, Delfina was able to get her to the right level of care, advocate for herself, and get the right treatment that she needed at that time, which was an induction and a vaginal delivery, which resulted in a healthy outcome for her and baby. And that's exactly the approach, Jacob, that we're now taking to scale for thousands of patients around the country, that instead of navigating the murky waters of uncertainty around their pregnancy care, they have data-driven certainty and clarity for what they need to do each day to have a healthier outcome.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you sharing that great story about baby Brooke and her mother with us. And it's a great example of the personalized pregnancy care that Delfina is providing. Before we go, Sinan, anything else that we're missing? Any final thoughts that you want to share with all the health system and health plan leaders listening in today?
Baby Brooke, not her real name, is one of thousands of babies in this country. And her mom is one of thousands of women in this country that could unfortunately end up being part of our annual CDC statistics that we lament every year. We publish New York Times articles every year. And at some point, something has to change. And I believe we're at a very special moment in our history as the United States where we can actually solve this problem. We have seen society really finally getting fed up with the status quo. And we saw the White House put out the executive order on maternal health, which has some key priorities to improve maternal health outcomes in the U.S. that align very well with what we're doing at Delfina, what our health plan partners and our provider partners are doing. First and foremost, by increasing access to and coverage for maternal health, we need to be supporting these moms in making personalized decisions for themselves with total transparency and clarity based on the data that we have collected about their pregnancy. We need to diversify the pregnancy care workforce in this country. It is shocking to me that only 6% of all certified nurse midwives identify as Black, given the number of pregnant patients who identify as Black. And we want to be a part of the solution as Delfina, as a technology provider, by enabling patients to self-advocate and to support choosing providers who are from these communities, who deeply empathize with and understand these patients. And our own doulas, 100% of our doulas are currently bilingual in Spanish and English, and they generally serve from the communities of which they're part. And finally, we need to really surround the patient, not just with clinical care, but social care, access to transportation, childcare, nutritional resources. These are resources that may not be top of mind for an OB-GYN physician at a hospital, but ultimately are what is often preventing patients from having the healthiest outcome. So I see society coalescing around a new push towards maternal health, and I see medical AI finally at the inflection point where it can actually come into clinical use, where Delfina's analytics and insights that are driven by machine learning algorithms that we have validated with our partners at Mayo Clinic and elsewhere around the country, we can finally actually drive a better kind of proactive care, giving OB-GYN physicians, certified nurse midwives, doulas, the clarity that they deserve on the provider side, and ultimately empowering patients like Baby Brooke's mom to take the actions that they need to have a healthier outcome. So I'm very excited for the future of maternal health. I believe we're at an inflection point, Jacob, and I'm very grateful at Delfina to play a part in building that future of intelligent pregnancy care for all.
Well, we're certainly very excited to continue watching attack this issue head on, Sinan. So thank you so much for taking the time to be with us and for sharing the story of Delfina and the impactful work that you and your team are doing there. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Jacob. Really enjoyed the conversation.
I'd also like to thank Delfina as well for sponsoring today's episode. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.